The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, Monday Night Football went just about as expected as the Cowboys do. They got their asses beat yet again. Fifth loss in a row. Can't do shit. But hey, at least they scored a touchdown, so that was kind of cool. But the Houston Texans demolished us 34-10. Joe Mixon had a huge day, of course, because you know we can't stop the run. So he had 109 yards on the ground and 3 touchdowns. I will say, I mean, from a critique standpoint, I mean, rather than just dissing the Cowboys, because I kind of feel like we all should just have already figured out that the Cowboys suck, so we should not even really acknowledge their existence really much anymore until the draft. But the Houston Texans, on the other hand, I got to say, even though they kicked our ass, most of those points didn't come until towards the end of the game. And I will say their offense is very shaky, and I feel like it's going to be a problem as the season wears on, especially in the AFC, because the AFC is stacked with talent. It's really difficult to predict who is going to represent in the Super Bowl on the AFC, whereas the NFC, it's pretty much Detroit over everybody. So with Houston, their offensive line is terrible. Their offensive line looked terrible even against this Cowboys defense. So yes, they gave up 34 points, but I'm just saying there were plenty of times. There were turnovers. We had him running for his life. He was on the ground. So, I mean, overall, I think the Texans are starting to have issues with this offense. Outside of Joe Mixon, of course, because Joe Mixon's pretty much been their most consistent guy on the offensive side of the ball. But, of course, defensively, they look really good, of course. But terrible game from the Cowboys, of course, but the Texans, I think they really have some issues when it comes to the offensive side of the ball, and might need to watch themselves as the season wears on, because they should easily win their division, but once we hit the playoffs, I don't know if they're going to be able to compete with the Chiefs and the Ravens, and hell, even the Steelers. I think the Steelers could probably beat them too, just with the type of defense that they've got, so we'll see what happens with Houston here, but they did demolish the Cowboys. All right, so moving on to my top 10 NFL power rankings for this week. Not a lot of changes. There is one team that has pretty much shot up on this on the power rankings this week. I don't know how much staying power they're going to have where they're at, but hey, they are playing great, so let's get right to it. Number one still remains the Detroit Lions. They're 9-1 on the season, and as I continue to say, there's just really no weakness with this team. Even though they lost Alex Anzalone, another defensive player, it looks like he's going to be out for the rest of the regular season. But even with his loss, I still don't worry about this team. I think this team is just poised and ready to actually make a Super Bowl run, and especially when you look at the offensive side of the ball, they are just killing it in the trenches with the offensive line. They have probably the best offensive line in the league. And then you have Jared Goff, who's just had a very solid year where he is just extremely accurate and really not making a lot of mistakes. And then, of course, you've got the dudes in the backfield with Gibbs. He's got 796 yards on the season with 8 touchdowns. And then you turn to Montgomery, who's the other running back. He's got 595 yards on the ground and 10 touchdowns. So between the two of them, they've got 18 touchdowns. So just overall, I feel like this Detroit Lions team is going to be really difficult for anybody to stop, because they have so many weapons, it could beat you in so many different ways. Moving up in the top 10 NFL power rankings this week, I have the Buffalo Bills, overall record of 9-2. Of course, they got the big win over Kansas City this week, and it wasn't even really a close game. They pretty much dominated from start to finish, and they were able to finish this game, which is why I now have put them above the Chiefs, not only because they beat them, but now they are playing very consistent football. Josh Allen's having the best season of his career. Right now he's got 2,543 yards passing and 18 touchdowns and only 5 interceptions. So he's really been keeping down the interceptions. But then you also have Cook in the backfield, who's been a huge help for them offensively. He's got 596 yards on the ground and 10 touchdowns as well. And then the defense seems to be getting stronger each and every game. I mean, they really held Patrick Mahomes in check, and that says a lot, because it is, as if you haven't seen, Mahomes is real difficult to even contain, let alone stop. And pretty much they not only contained Mahomes, but they stopped Mahomes and really made this Chiefs offense look really bad, as a matter of fact. So I feel like their defense is actually starting to get better as the season progresses. So we'll see what they got, but they are headed into a bye week right now, and they are coming off of a huge win. Dropping down to 3 on my top 10 NFL power rankings this week, I have the Kansas City Chiefs, overall record of 9-1. For me, it's really just offensively. There is no playmaker on offense other than Patrick Mahomes, who's playing consistent football. They are running back by committee at this point. Looks like Pacheco might come back at some point in the next couple of weeks, but who knows? You have the receiver position. Nobody's really stepped up. Nobody's really making the big play. So in turn, Mahomes has had to really just chuck the ball up at certain points of time. And that's why he's one of the league leaders right now in interceptions with 11 interceptions. So it's pretty much him over everybody. Now, lucky for them, they do have a really good defense, and that's what's really kept them in these games. But as you saw against a team like the Buffalo Bills, they're going to have problems. But still, I feel like they've got such a lead right now in the AFC that it's pretty much going to be difficult for them to, they definitely won't be losing their division. They're definitely winning that division. As far as falling back in the seeding, I don't see them falling even below number one, just because they've won so many games already as it is. But as I said, I feel like their big issue is the offense, and it is not the same offense that it used to be. Then at number 4 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, shooting up the power rankings this week, is the Pittsburgh Steelers. Overall record of 8-2. Now, offensively, they are terrible. They are not a good team offensively. All they did in this last game was score field goals. They still got the win. As a matter of fact, they have won 2 games this season by just scoring field goals. So you're not going to win a championship that way. So they definitely have to improve somewhat over the next month and a half to even really have a fighting chance in the AFC. But defensively, this is why they're 8-2, is the defense. TJ Watt has four forced fumbles on the season and 7.5 sacks, and he is probably the biggest game changer on the defensive side of the ball in the league right now. I mean, you could just see offensive linemen not only are basically shaking before the ball is snapped, but once the ball is snapped, you can't even really block the dude. He's got so many moves. And even when you double team him or even triple team him in certain cases or hold him, it is the case in many on many occasions, the dude still gets by you and he's still able to affect the quarterback and the pass or affect the ground attack in some way, shape, or form. He just seems to be in on every single play on the defensive side of the ball, and it's just crazy to see how a defender in this day and age of football, a defender like TJ Watt is able to literally change the game just by standing there, basically. Then at number 5 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, falling a bit, are the Baltimore Ravens. Overall record of 7-4. The little mistakes have basically been killing them in their 4 losses. This loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, they missed 2 field goals. Really nobody was open for Lamar Jackson. They had a bunch of turnovers. It just was really not a clean game from them. And then you really look at it in a shocking turn of events for the Ravens. Their defense is what's killing them in the second half of games. It's most specifically their secondary. Their secondary is getting blown up in a lot of the games that they have lost as well. So they got to start to button that up as they start to get closer to the playoffs, because, of course, I do believe this is a playoff team. They still are absolutely in it for their division as well. I mean, they may have lost to the Steelers this week, but they have another matchup against the Steelers, and there's still plenty of season left to go. But they really have to button up those little mistakes, because, like I said, it's not just against the Steelers last week. You know, it's against the Chiefs in Game 1 where they basically lost by a toe. And so they're losing by these little mistakes that are what becomes the margin when you're playing the best teams in the league, which is who you're going to be playing once you hit the playoffs. Then at number six on my top 10 NFL power rankings at the Houston Texans, overall record of 7-4. As I said, with the Texans, my main concern is their offensive line, most specifically. But, I mean, really, if you look at it, outside of Joe Mixon, they really have not received a lot of offensive production. Now, they did just got a couple of their guys back on the offensive side of the ball with Nico Collins coming back. So they probably will start to score a lot more points than they have been lately. But overall, this is the offense is not improving. The defense looks great, and they are carrying them in certain games. But offensively, that could end up being their downfall once we hit the playoffs. But until we hit the playoffs, I think the Texans are going to easily win their division and easily get into the playoffs. Then at number seven on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Los Angeles Chargers, overall record of 7-3. This team seems to be getting better each and every week as well. I mean, first of all, I keep talking about their defense. It's a silent killer. Nobody is talking about this defense that the Los Angeles Chargers have, and they are making life hell for the opposing offense. But Justin Herbert, he seems to be fitting in into Harbaugh's offense each and every week. Of course, he started the season off with an injury, so that probably was an issue as well. But now he seems to be a lot more comfortable. They don't have a lot of great receivers, but he seems to be locking in on Quentin Johnston right now. So that seems to be their little connection right now. But on the season, Herbert's got 2,186 yards passing, 13 touchdowns, and only one interception. So that's a big deal for him, is that he's really insanely accurate, but also not making the big mistakes. So, I mean, he's having a great year, but also having a great year is running back J.K. Dobbins. He's got 726 yards on the ground and 8 touchdowns, and I kind of feel like nobody expected him to do anything. I think a lot of his the free agency was very quiet for him, and I think that was mostly due to the injuries he suffered while he was with the Baltimore Ravens. But overall, this guy has been a difference maker for this offense, and I feel like him and Herbert are definitely an amazing tag team. And I kind of feel like once they get like a number one receiver, that this offense is going to be really difficult to stop. But the thing about this Chargers team is they are getting hotter. They seem to be getting more confident each and every week. Now, I don't know if we can trust them, and that's really the only thing, and that's why they're hovering down at the lower end of the top 10, but there is still a month and a half of football left to go. And they are in a tough division, but I still think this team is gonna get better each and every week, as they seem to do so far. Then at number eight on my top 10 NFL power rankings at the Minnesota Vikings, overall record of 8-2. This team, I was more confident in them earlier this season than I am now. Defensively, they're excellent. There's no issues with them defensively. They have 35 sacks on the season, 16 interceptions, and 6 forced fumbles. So they are getting at the quarterback. They're causing turnovers, and they are a huge difference maker for this team. But then on the offensive side of the ball, Jefferson is doing what he always does. He's got 912 yards receiving, 5 touchdowns. But it's been Sam Darnold. Now, this past week, he had a good game. But that's what happens with Darnold, is he's very streaky. And he's been turning the ball over in the red zone. And so he's starting to become more and more of a liability for me. And they're starting to become less trustable, especially in these big games, especially against their division as well. They've got Detroit and Green Bay in their division. So they're still a good team, especially on the defensive side of the ball, but the questions for me lie with Sam Darnold and just how one week he's great and then the next week he's throwing interceptions in the red zone. Then at number nine on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Green Bay Packers, overall record of 7-3, Josh Jacobs is just carrying this offense right now. He's got 838 yards on the ground and 4 touchdowns. Now, obviously not a lot of touchdowns, but he's really been a difference maker for this squad, especially while Love is trying to get as healthy as he can, especially for this playoff run, because now we are pretty much in playoff mode. For any team that is hovering there, trying to win their division or just trying to keep up in that wild card race, this is the home stretch right here. Is we're headed towards Thanksgiving, and that's when shit gets crazy. And so the Packers, they got to keep winning. And so they need Love to cut down on the mistakes, because Love is right up there as well with Sam Darnold and Patrick Mahomes leading the league with interceptions. So, you know, Love's got to cut that down. He's starting to become a liability as well. And most importantly, he's starting to become a liability in the red zone as well. And that's where you really don't want to have the turnovers. I mean, you never want to have turnovers, but the last area on the field you ever want to have a turnover is in the red zone, because you're taking points off the board regardless. So with the Packers, it's kind of the same thing, but I mean, defensively, they are really good as well. You know, I kind of feel like this is a pretty buttoned up team, and they're also ready to make a playoff run. And then rounding out the top 10 NFL power rankings of the Philadelphia Eagles, overall record of 8-2. Saquon Barkley has just been carrying this team offensively. He's already over the 1,000-yard mark on the season. He's got 1,137 yards rushing and 8 touchdowns on the ground. So he's really having zero issues. To me, they're very disjointed offensively outside of him. I mean, they've had to battle through the injuries, which is a big deal. But, you know, I keep saying Jalen Hurts just does not look like he is fitting in this offense or really just enjoying this season. He seems to look uncomfortable at times. You know, he's getting thrown directly into the ground. There's a couple, I mean, hell, he had to come out of the game, the last game, to be checked for a concussion, just because, I mean, he kept getting thrown around, and there were a couple of times where he did look dazed and confused. So I don't know if that was the hits he was taking or if that's just kind of how he feels about this offense, but they have their big sparks, and that's why they're 8-2. Also, their defense is progressing along. They started off the season not looking real good, but now they're starting to get better. I wouldn't call them one of the best defenses in the league, but they're definitely taking care of business. But to me, the Eagles are really all about Saquon Barkley. He keeps them in every game. He's usually able to just bust out and get a huge first down, and not just like a couple yards. The dude's known to get like 20, 30, 40, 50 yards. That's kind of what he does. He's great with juking, and he's just an excellent running back, and he really is the difference maker for this Eagles team. That's why they're so far down for me, just because I really don't believe in them. And that's not even the hater in me talking. It's just I look at them, and they just aren't that good of a team, and I kind of feel like at some point it's going to come crashing down for them. All right, so moving on to Week 12 and Thursday Night Football this week. We have us a division matchup between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Cleveland Browns. Right now, the Steelers are a 3.5-point favorite. I am leaning towards Steelers, but I'm not expecting them to kick their ass. As I said, the Steelers' offense has problems, and this Cleveland Browns defense is actually pretty good. And like I said, this is a division matchup, and the Browns tend to step it up for the Steelers, even if the Steelers are the best team in the league, and they are the best team in their division right now. So I expect Cleveland to bring it, as they always do. And like I said, this Steelers offense is very, very weak. They just don't have any spark plugs. They just don't really make any big plays throughout the game. It's usually just like one play here and there, and then they're just able to get in the field goal range and take care of business there. Now, I do expect them to score a touchdown in this one on the offensive side of the ball, but I think this is really just going to be all about their defense as usual. The Cleveland Browns offense has just been sputtering along all season. They have had a couple of really big outbursts, but overall, this is just a terrible Cleveland Browns team. And like I said, I do expect them to bring their best and step it up and bring their A game against their division rival Pittsburgh Steelers. But I've got the Steelers winning a close one, 21-16, just because their defense is probably going to take care of business, as they always do. And the offense will do just enough to score field goals and hopefully get them at the goal line and maybe score a touchdown here and there. All right, moving on to college football and the college football playoff rankings for this week and the top 12 teams. If the playoffs were to start today, these are the 12 teams that would make it into the college football playoff. Now, we have one team, of course, who just completely tumbled. But overall, it's pretty much the way it was last week. So let's begin with number one, still remains Oregon. They are 11-0 on the season. And they will be playing the University of Wisconsin. They actually have a bye week this week. I'm sorry, they played Wisconsin this week. Just got by them, 16-13. They have a bye, and then they will be at the University of Washington next week. Then at number two, we still have Ohio State. They're 9-1 on the season. They smashed Northwestern 31-7. They will be playing Indiana this week, and that is number five, Indiana. So this is a big game for them. They lose, they tumble, they win, they rumble. Then at number three still remains my Texas Longhorns, Hook 'em Horns, motherfucker, Hook 'em Horns, Hook 'em Horns. They are still 9-1 on the season. They just beat Arkansas 20-10. They will be playing Kentucky this weekend. Then at number four still remains Penn State. They are 9-1 on the season. They just took out Purdue 49-10. They will be at Minnesota this weekend. Then, as I said, number five is Indiana. They are 10-0 on the season. So if they get a win, that's going to be interesting. I mean, they should shoot up to number two if they get a win, simply because, A, they would be undefeated, but B, they took out number two, Ohio State, their rivals. I mean, not the biggest rivals, but they're definitely going to be rivals this season. So we'll see if Indiana is able to get the upset, because it definitely would be an upset if they take out Ohio State this weekend. But I don't know. We'll see. I'm not expecting miracles. I'm leaning towards Ohio State in that one, but that's a big game because it definitely affects the way the rankings are. I don't know if it's going to affect – I don't think it's going to knock either team out. I think both of them will still remain in the college football playoff. But definitely if Indiana wins, this is huge for them because they could potentially be getting a bye if they keep that number two spot. Then at number six, we have Notre Dame. They just moved up two spots. They're 9-1 on the season. They just beat the University of Virginia 35-14, and they will be at Army number nine, or they will be playing against Army number 19 this week. So Army's no slouch, and they have taken it to them a few times, but I don't know. I don't really see Notre Dame losing it this time. Then at number seven, we have Alabama. They've moved up three spots. They're 8-2 on the season. They just got a big win over Mercer, 52-7, and they will be at Oklahoma this weekend. Then at number eight, we have the U, Miami. They moved up a spot. They're 9-1 on the season, and they will be playing Wake Forest this weekend. Then at number nine, we have Ole Miss moving up two spots. They're 8-2 on the season, and they just beat Georgia over the weekend. They just beat Georgia their last game, not over the weekend, but they beat them their last game 28-10, and they will be at Florida this weekend. Then at number 10, we have Georgia. They moved up two spots. They're 8-2 on the season, and they took out Tennessee 31-17, big time. But they will be at they will be playing UMass this weekend, and then not falling far. I mean, I'm kind of surprised they're still here in the 12, but Tennessee falls to 11. They fall four spots because they now they have another loss, and they're 8-2 on the season. So that's why I'm kind of shocked that they're still there because, you know, they've got the two losses. They just got their asses beat in the loss to Georgia. So I kind of look at it, and I'm like, it's kind of surprising that they're still there. But I don't know. It's probably that SEC love that Tennessee is getting. But they are still there, hovering, and they will be playing UTEP this weekend. And then rounding out the college football playoff, top 12 teams, Boise State. They are 9-1 on the season. They just took out San Jose State 42-21. And they will be at Wyoming this weekend. But they seem to be a dark horse team as well because they're projecting. Now, this is, of course, just projections because notice I'm calling these rankings because there's no brackets or type of matchups. Just because there's a whole lot of factors that go into the rankings, of course. But if you're actually just going off of kind of how they're basing it, it's kind of looking like Boise State might actually be one of the teams who ends up getting a first-round bye in this one. So that is pretty crazy how well they believe in Boise State right now. I mean, I'm not saying they're having a bad season. As a matter of fact, they're having a great season. Boise State, they might be playing upset again this year. How crazy would that be? I mean, this is what the college football playoff is actually made for, is a team like Boise State to just get in there and prove that they belong, and who knows? They could end up the champion. I'm not picking them to, but, I mean, you just never know. It's one and done in all these championship games, and if somebody just brings their shit game and Boise State's got their A game, boom, Boise State's moving on. So we have a couple weeks left we actually have exactly a month from today. The college football playoff begins on December 20th, so we have exactly a month until the college football playoff begins, but we do have a couple weeks left of football, I think 2 weeks left of the regular season, and then we're going to have all the conference championships. And then we'll see who ends up ultimately making the college football playoff. But that is the top 12 teams right now who would all make the playoff if it were to begin today. All right, y'all, enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Friday.